There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Friday, and we are live at Mobile Bay Coins for the next couple of hours of live local talk. Love for you to come by and be part of this in person. And a lot going on today, but the big one here is we're celebrating 1 year of no sales tax on precious metals. Angelo, tell me more about this.
Yeah, so if you're an investor and you wanted to buy gold or silver bullion or rare U.S. coins, rare currency, and that was your part of your investment portfolio, you had been at a disadvantage in Alabama because we used to have to charge sales tax on that. That was a 10% hit right off the top.
Right.
And then about a year and a half ago, you and I went on the air and you brought up a lot of good points that, yeah, you can go online and buy off the internet and save the tax by buying it that way, but you're still liable. If you lived in Alabama, and that was a law in Alabama, you're still liable for that. So with your help, we were able to get that law changed, and now there is no sales tax. So you come in here and you want to buy $100 worth of silver bullion, it's going to cost you $100, not $110 after that tax.
Right.
And to celebrate that, it's been 1 year now. Well, 1 year effective tomorrow, so we're ending up that first year. What we're going to do here in the shop is today, we wanted to announce that with you this morning and continue on. It's tax-free on everything. So if
I
you
mean,
want to,
everything in here, not just gold and silver bullion.
Everything in here. So if you want to buy a piece of jewelry, we will take care of that sales tax. So if it's a $149 piece of jewelry, we're going to back the sales tax off of that, add it back in. Your final price, $149. You can't beat
like
it, man.
That. I like that a lot. So if there's something you've been checking out here at the shop that you've been kind of on the fence about, this is the best day to buy it. If you've not been and seen the selection, this is the day to do it because you're going to get the best price.
At best price, and we've got a huge selection, whether you're looking at all the cool silver coins. I know we were talking about some of those off the air. The jewelry selection is massive as well. And as an added extra little tidbit, I know you always like free, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite price.
So
yeah.
How about free hot dogs brought to us from the Dewdrop Inn, oldest restaurant here in Mobile?
Now, we have
there's been a dent.
Well, here's the thing. So there are so many of them, though, and big thank you to Dewdrop, that I've had more than one. Bill's had more than one. Dalton, how many of you had one?
One.
Dalton's been good. He's had one. And you've had two. So, I mean, all these folks here have put a pretty good dent in them.
And you can't tell.
And there's still a ton of them, y'all. Come get a hot dog. Get lunch today on a Friday here at Mobile Bay Coins. And while you're here, pick up some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. We got some huggers in here for you. Also, I brought this in. You know, you're always talking about the collectibles here.
Yeah.
Okay, so collectibles, and there are a great selection of collectibles at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. But here's one, Angela, and we'll get a picture of this and put this on the Twitter feed. This has to be one of the original T-shirts for two guys and some change.
Well, I looked. I saw the tag. It's a Gildan shirt. So the first time we did those shirts was right after you started the radio station. We started the show.
Yep.
We created the two guys logo, and that's one of the very first ones. Actually, that's the two guys summer logo. So that was the second year. So first, and I don't even. Where in the heck did you get that?
So I've had. I
don't even have
vault,
one now.
My vault at the radio station. So I grabbed this. I thought this was really really cool. Number one, it's a cool logo. Number two, yeah, this is something that is definitely
now vintage collectible.
A vintage collectible. So next person come on in, it's an extra large, which means it fits everybody.
There you go. If it's too big for you, then it's your girlfriend or wife's sleep shirt.
That's right.
Not both.
Yes.
One or the other.
Well,
you got to choose.
You never know. So y'all come on by and pick up the shirt. First person in. There's only one of these, so you come by and pick them up. Also, we have plenty of FM Talk 106.5 goodies to hook you up with, and you will see the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit sitting out front. Explain to folks, though, who have, for some reason, not been here before, how to get here.
Yeah, we're in Midtown on Government Street. Address is 2204 Government. If you know where Whataburger is, you know where Little Flower Catholic School is, we're right in the middle on Government Street. You got to come by and say hey. And like you said, you've got your command center out there. They can't miss that with the
pretty big billboard.
Yeah, big old billboard out there. So come by and say hey. We'd love to see you.
Okay, so let's talk too. When people come by, I took a picture and put it up on our Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 a second ago. Market spot price. This is something you talk with me about every week when we're talking about precious metals. What is spot price? What is that?
So a lot of people want to know how you buy gold and silver. Hey, I want to get into buying silver. What do I do? What's it going to cost me? So you look at the market spot price. So the first thing we check is where is the market today? Right now, it's roughly $14.60 an ounce.
Okay.
So we're going to base our prices off of that. If you want a generic piece of silver, 1 ounce silver round, half ounce silver round, they're going to be $1.25 over that market
price. Okay.
If you're getting something a little fancier, like an American Silver Eagle or a Philharmonic from Austria, those are usually around $3 to $4 over spot.
So again, because you've got art and collectible nature on top of,
and it's a government issued coin,
okay,
or government struck coins. So those are actually coins struck by a government mint. Then we go into some things that are a little more, I always call it the pop culture side.
Okay.
The newest thing we just got in is the John Wick coin. So anybody out there that has not seen the John Wick movies is going to be clueless. But if you've seen the movies, you know that everybody's transacting business with these cool little gold coins. We didn't want to buy those in gold because rather expensive.
Yes.
But for around $25 a piece, you can come in and buy one of those. They're made in silver. 1 ounce of fine silver. Very cool pop culture item. As a matter of fact, I bought a number of those for myself to put in my little stash that I hold back. Sort of like you did with that shirt there.
That's right. And that's one thing, too. When people come in, there's different ways to look at precious metals. There is just a bar, a raw price, that spot price,
right,
talking about this. And then there, you just took it up. There's different grades beyond that for different reasons.
There's so many different things you do. You can invest in metal where you just want a lot of metal at the best possible price.
I don't care what
price
it looks like. Yeah, just give me the...
Right,
yeah.
I need 100 ounces or 500, whatever it is. You're just trying to amass a huge pile of metal.
Right.
You may want to be getting something because you think it's sort of interesting. You like the history. You and I have talked about that a lot.
Yes.
And you could also be looking at this and saying, I like it. I enjoy this, but I want to get something for the kids or grandkids that's not just a piece of junk that they're going to throw away in 3 weeks.
Yep.
And I just spent $25 on a piece of junk from China. I'm trying to filter since I know we're live on the air here.
Yeah.
Well, now you can buy a John Wick coin, a Star Wars coin, a Disney coin, all sorts of cool animal designs, all these different designs. $25 on average or less. So now you're getting somebody, not something they're going to throw in the trash because it's always going to be an ounce of silver. And 10 or 20 years from now, maybe it's an ounce of silver and it's worth silver price. Maybe it's a really hard to find collectible and it's worth $50 to $100. Who knows?
Yeah, and also if they have it customized here,
right,
then you have a keepsake that they'll remember for all time. I mean, while the plastic stuff is going to be bagged up and thrown out at some point,
absolutely,
with the trash, that coin, that silver round is going to be something that will be, when they're old themselves, look back and remember that.
And as you've talked about before, you can come in here and get a silver round, not necessarily some of these coins, but these cool engravable pieces, get it customized, personalized, maybe somebody's initials, you know, a date, maybe the graduation date, something like that. Not only are they going to keep that for a long time, that's going to be one of those things that leads a conversation.
Right.
Whether that's those elephant rounds, whether it's the American flags we've been selling a whole lot of, all branches of the military service. So somebody's getting commissioned, you put their initials in there.
You talked about that a couple weeks ago. Y'all still have those in?
We do. We certainly do. So somebody's going to be commissioned in the Coast Guard or the Army, any of the branches, put their initials and their commissioning date on the back of that. They're going to keep that as their personal lucky coin they're going to carry around forever. I can pretty well guarantee that because most military people love their traditions, and challenge coins are a tradition, have been around for a long time. Now you can sort of have your own custom challenge coin.
All right, so come in and see what they've got for you right now. And today, 10%, that sales tax is not, y'all are eating that.
Yeah, we're going to eat that. So on the gold and silver side, Alabama changed that law so we don't have to eat that sales tax. That's been tax-free now for 1 year.
Right.
But on the coin supplies, the books, the jewelry.
What about open-L knives?
Open-L knives. Everything that would normally be taxed in the store, we are also going to make that tax-free, and we will eat that sales tax. So you're saving 10%.
Okay, I would urge y'all to get here in hour number one of the program because in between hour one and hour two is when I will do my open-L knife buying. So if you want a better selection of them, I would get here hour one while I'm busy talking about what's going on in Montgomery and in Washington and across the border in Mexico, and that's something we'll do. All right, one more time. How do people find you?
We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. If you get turned around, give us a call, 251-725-1590, or go onto our website, mobilebaycoins.com, and click on it there.
All right, good stuff. Come see us. We are hanging out at Mobile Bay Coins. We are live noon to 2 today. We'll feed you some great Dewdrop. We'll hook you up with some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. And you heard the man. You're getting smoking deals today on everything inside Mobile Bay Coins. CNADA, that's what they said in Montgomery. Let's talk about session as it wraps in Montgomery and a tariff battle with Mexico. What does that mean? Is it a standoff?
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, let's do this. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line open for you, 343-0106. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We'll be hanging out here through at least 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'd love to see you. We'll hook you up with lunch from the Dewdrop and the best prices yet with 10% off everything, as they say, without no V. Everything in the store at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Plus, FM Talk 106.5 huggers. You want to get them ready for the big weekend ahead. Maybe you're heading out snapper fishing. Might have a cool beverage while you're out there. We got your hugger. Stop by and see us. All right, to the phones, and let's go to Thomas in Theodore. All right, we have lost Thomas. Leaves the line open for you at 343-0106. Also wanted to point out today the last day of regular session in Montgomery. Yesterday they were intimating that maybe they were going to get it finished last night, but they didn't. Looks like they had to stretch it into the new day and waiting to hear back if the ETF budget was signed off on. They were in session when I left to come over here, and we'll have find out if the $7.1 billion budget for both chambers to pass will get signed off on. But it will happen today. It's just when today will it happen. Then after that, the clock on session is coming to an end. Still several Senate bills awaiting votes in the House. You know how that works, right? It was weird this year, too, by the way. Just tell you what's different from the years past. Normally, stuff originates in the House. The House gets, and then it goes to the Senate to die. It's just the Senate, the more austere body, or the Senate, the slower. It's harder to pass legislation in the Senate, be that in Washington, be that in Montgomery. That's just the nature of it. But this session in Alabama, oddly enough, there's been a lot of activity in the Senate. Bills, SBs, usually SBs are fewer than HBs. In other words, Senate bills versus House bills. But this session has been quite contrary to that. So they've made more activity in the Senate, sent it to the House, and the House has shut down what have been some Senate bills that had great votes coming out of there. So, here's where it stands right now. Several Senate bills awaiting the votes in the House, including Senator Pro Tem Del Marge's bills to scrap and elect state school board and replace them with an education commission to be appointed by the governor. Now, that's one of the interesting takes here. Think about this. So right now, State Board of Education, the way it works is you have elected State Board of Education members in your district in the state. So if this change would go through, that would not happen anymore, and you would have that state school board as appointed by the governor, and then the governor, they would be there at the behest of the governor, right? So some people say, well, there's a better chance to have people that are well-vetted, that are trained in that position to be on that board versus an elected position. But at the same time, some will argue, hey, wait a second, that takes the people's voice away. All right, you got him back on. All right, Thomas wants to hop on with us real fast. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me on. You know, you were talking to Angela. I'd love to talk to him one day and get down to the shop and look at it. But I just think, just real quick here, his show on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock is hilarious. He and Ron, they go back and forth with each other, and it is so entertaining. I think that's worth it. You should pay them to be on.
And Thomas, I'm going to drop you right there. That's not a good idea. Yes, I do agree. The show is very funny.
Is that a good idea?
No, you're not on cash flow. No, man, no.
Anyways, I just wanted to say, folks, get out and let's vote for 106.5 and the Nappies. It's the best station going. The information, the fella you had on yesterday was a riot. He could do a voiceover for Slim Pickens. I just wish you had some turkey calls.
Well, listen, we may have that happen very soon. Thomas, appreciate the call. Yeah, also talking about that in the nappies, Angelo will come back on with it in a second, but Dalton has stepped in as well. We are at, what, five different categories?
Yeah, I think we're up for five different awards in this year's nappies. Of course, you got Best FM Station, which we hope to win. Actually, we hope to win all of them,
yes,
right?
Yes, I would. So I actually want to win Best Diner, Best...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Best Chicken Fingers. I think yes. FM Talk deserves that one for sure. But yeah, we're up for five different awards in the media section, including Sports Night. Our very first year on the air, we're up for the Best Sports Show.
That's right.
And our very own Kelly Finley is up for Best DJ Voice, although we correct that every day and say she's Best Journalist Voice, Best Broadcaster Voice. So we're up for quite a few. And also our partners here on the radio. I know Butch Cassidy's up for some awards. Alec Naaman and Naaman's Catering. So you can vote now through Sunday at midnight. That's when they'll take the last of the votes. And I guess we'll find out the winners here in about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we'll find out who won these awards.
All right, yeah, so just y'all check it out. 2 days left in that at votenappies.com. All right, so one of the things we're waiting to see that happens today, will that bill move through to change the way State Board of Education... Here's a sad thing, too. State Board of Education, one of these positions we vote for people on there, but just be honest with yourself. How many times have you gone in and voted for the State Board of Education and had any idea who you're voting for? Right, so that was one of the arguments to say, hey, make it an appointed position versus voted, but there's pressure either way. If this bill moves out that is backed by Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh, what it would do is put a constitutional amendment on the ballot to let us vote on whether that would change or not. Also, the Medical Marijuana Study Commission bill, the Joint Transportation Committee bill, that's something different.
They're not the same thing?
No, that's what's funny. I was looking at, they were listing things coming out of Montgomery. It said, Medical Marijuana Study Commission bill, and the next line it said, Joint Transportation Committee bill. And I said, wait a minute. Those are different, completely different. That would be a different. This is a together transportation committee bill, not a joint.
And I know there was also an HB 420, which was also completely unrelated from the medical marijuana bill.
Although the bill that was dealing with getting judges out of the business of issuing marriage license, I think was SB 69.
That's correct. That would be correct.
I'm just reading the information here. Let's see. Those are the big ones. Immunization registry bill, that's still not been signed off on yet. We'll see if that goes through. But they're looking at the next couple minutes here, wrapping everything up in Montgomery, and hopefully we'll get you the final word out of there. And then I want to just jump to the international subject and the subject that was talked about a little bit this morning. You heard more on the Mike Gallagher show earlier, and that was the standoff. And the standoff of tariffs, President Trump announcing a 5% tariff on all goods coming into the United States from Mexico. Now, we've talked about this before, and people say, well, what does that matter? Well, for American companies and car companies, there's the areas along the border, okay, along the Texas border and the border with New Mexico and Arizona, there are places called maquiladores, and they are cities that are just like the flip side. Like, you'll have an American city right here along the border, and then you have a city that's right across the Mexican border. Those maquiladores are areas that were built up to bring in American companies to build factories there. There's a lot of manufacturing, auto manufacturing, a lot of other manufacturing that goes on in those places. So even though you think about, okay, here's an imported product, you think about it coming from far away, sometimes those places they're making things at the car plants in Mexico they're within eyesight of the U.S. border, but obviously they can pay less money there. It'll be interesting to see what happens in this. President's announced on Twitter that the United States will impose a 5% tariff on all goods coming from Mexico. President said the tariff could go up until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. In a news release, White House said the tariff could reach 25% by October. Now, see if it gets there. I mean, when does the government in Mexico go? President says the 5% tariff on all goods could begin next month, like June. To do tariffs today, he warns that the tariffs will gradually increase until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. So, all right, we go 5% right off the bat, could go as high as 25%. So, I want to get your thoughts on that, Dalton. What do you think? What could it affect? What do you consume that you're worried about?
I mean, the first thing I'm worried about is Corona. The beer Corona, how much that will, I mean, will I have to pay you an extra 5 cents, 10 cents? What am I looking at for that? Do you think this is more of a...
$1,300 per vehicle, they're saying, on some American vehicles.
Wow, that's big.
And, you know, I've said this before, that you can say, you can be a fan of what the president's doing, President Trump's doing in these trade negotiations with China, Mexico, and other countries. But I would also argue that when the president says we're going to make China pay that tariff, we're going to make Mexico, that doesn't happen. The tariff is paid by Americans who decide to buy the product. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just be frank about it. Now it can make American companies way more competitive with these others. But it's the Mexicans don't pay the tariff. The Chinese don't pay the tariff. The Americans that buy the stuff pay the tariff.
Is there any way that this money would possibly go towards the wall, or is the president, do you think, trying to?
He's obviously using a point of leverage here to do something about illegal immigration. And also, part of this is not just, hey, don't let people cross the border. It's about getting the Mexican government to repatriate. Somebody comes from Nicaragua or El Salvador or Honduras, and the Mexicans will just say, well, they're up here now.
Right.
This is to have the Mexicans send them back across their southern border. So that's what's at play here. The president it does not say what the remedy would look like. In his response on Twitter here, he warns the tariffs will gradually increase until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. Yesterday, the president vowed a very dramatic action and to address the refugee crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, saying he would make, yesterday he called it a big league statement, and now we see it. It's this now tariff. Although, you know, the president has talked about this tariff the whole time. He talked about it when he was running for office, and now he's doing something about it, and he's saying, hey, we're going to raise this tariff and continue to raise the tariff until we have some kind of solution. I would argue, though, the bad thing here is exactly what would be. The president said, until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. At what point, at what level of illegal immigration flow is it remedied? We'll talk about this more and grab some calls when we get back at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Love for you to stop on by. And they have hooked us up with some fantastic Dewdrop hot dogs. So stop by and get lunch. And while you're here, some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. And how about this? 10% off everything right here in the store today as we're celebrating 1 year. 1 year of tax-free on precious metals. I guess tomorrow is actually the beginning of year number two of this, something that changed in the legislature last year, so you don't have to pay sales tax on precious metals. Well, speaking of the legislature, have they shut it down yet? Have they called scene? Have they put up the jazz hands? Well, it's the last day, it looks like. And I bring in my buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN, of course, Guerrilla Politics, and a man who writes, 10,000-11,000 words a day for Alabama political blogs. Is that close, Dale? Am I close, like the volume you
it
produce?
It feels like it. Ask my wife. She'll tell you that's how much time I spend doing it. That's how many words I write, and it takes a bunch of time. So, yeah, ask her.
Yeah, but you do, and a lot of us really appreciate your take on things, especially during session like this. Have you gotten the word? Because I've been away from my main fire hose torrent of information out of Montgomery for the last hour and a half. Are they finished? Is it Sine Die yet, or are they going to wrap it, or what?
I haven't figured that out yet. I don't think they're doing it now. They are still working on some things. I believe the Senate has now passed, or at least the House passed, Marsh's plan to remake the school board, so that's still going on. So I think they're still in there, they're still working, but they're heading that way. This is supposed to be the last day.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what I've heard. I heard it could be they could have just gone into the wee hours last night, but it looks like they're still at it today. What about that, the school board thing? I think it's like a lot of issues, I can probably argue it both ways. I mean, where it's been an elected position, I would say that there's about probably, I don't know, what do you think, 26, 27 people in the state of Alabama that pay attention to the people that they fill in and elect to their state school board?
I always say this to people when they're talking about this. I said, quick, don't tell me who your school board member, excuse me, I can't say it. I talk for a living. I say, don't tell me who your school board member is. Tell me how many of them there are. And nobody knows.
Good question.
So nobody knows how many people there even are. And if you are a member of the school board, you better start looking for another job because it's going to be an appointed.
Okay. Well, okay.
Move forward.
Well, the appointed position, and there are other things. It's not like this is without precedent in Alabama state government having positions that you have the governor appoint. I mean, this is not. It's not like we're reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah, most states do it the way they're going to start doing it. You're going to have appointed positions as opposed to elected. That's all it is. And I'll be honest with you. You know, you said you could argue both sides. So could I. But the side I would argue is this. It doesn't matter one damn bit. I mean, it just doesn't. The reality is this is more of a local matter than anything else. The individual school districts deciding to raise taxes or not on their schools and put that money directly into their local schools. There's a correlation there between whether schools are going to succeed or not, and that's all done at a local level. I mean, we can talk about how Lowndes County has the most dollars per student spent and how it's a garbage school system, but those are all federal dollars sent in there for different programs like free lunches and things like that. It's all going to be a local issue, and I would argue this doesn't matter what damn thing.
Well, then, at the same time, then why mess with it at all? Why have it as an appointed? If it doesn't make any difference, why change anything?
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. I honestly don't know why they're messing with this at all, to be honest. The state legislature can do whatever it wants with education. Del Marsh could do whatever he wanted with education in the state Senate. I don't know. They're changing it up because there's been a lot of chaos on the board. There's been a lot of problems, and I don't think they want to deal with it being an elected position anymore. They want people who are going to be in there. This is my take on it. They want people that are going to be on that board and not have to worry about election and make tough decisions that will be politically unpopular.
Well, as I just dropped the grenade here, like Common Core, something like that, that you get the people in there that want to just make sure Common Core.
There was a part of this, I don't know if it stayed in the bill, but an earlier part of this started the wheels to do away with Common Core, which again is one of these things that is just 2 years from now, we're going to have some other different system that we're talking about using that comes from some other system, and it works better allegedly, but it really doesn't. And it all goes back to the same thing. If you care about what your kid is doing, your kid's going to have a better chance to succeed. Everything else is on the outlier. I mean, it really is. If you have a parent that doesn't give a damn, well, then those kids are going to have problems. And if you have parents who care, those kids are more likely than not going to have as many problems. I mean, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And, yeah, there's outliers on all of that, but that's the general gist there. And I don't think many people would disagree with that, even school board members.
All right, if you're just joining us, talking about my buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, also the host of Guerrilla Politics. It's a TV show. We just take the audio because we're a radio station, and you can hear it tomorrow right here at FM Talk 106.5. But you can also watch it. Dale will tell us in a second where you want to go, where you can go to watch it. But I would go back to this for 1 second, because a stat out now, the governor voting through these pay increases, signing off on the general fund and having these pay increases in education, we're going to have Alabama teachers paid better than, I think, if not all surrounding states, at least starting salary. I don't know how the whole graduated system goes there, but starting salary is better than, I think, all, if not 75% of our bordering states. Don't you think at that point, then, you can stop the argument that our schools are bad because we're not spending money, or education's not working because we're not spending money?
No, because we have presidential candidates who say things like, we're going to give them all a $13,000 pay raise. How are you going to pay for it? Don't worry about that. And apparently the federal government pays teachers now. I don't know what we'll always hear. That's why, look, you hear stuff like, I can't believe, I think Bernie Sanders said it earlier this month. He said something along the lines of, can you believe that a basketball player gets paid $20 million a year and teachers have to work two jobs or pay for their own supplies? And the answer is yes, I can believe it, because nobody is going to watch a teacher teach second graders math. And there's, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that can do that job. There's only one LeBron James, and the worst player in the NBA is better than 99% of basketball players on the planet. So give me a break. Yeah, I can definitely understand it. But, yeah, that argument never goes away because it's an applause line. Our teachers should make more. Yeah. Who's the guy who's going to stand up in the back and go, no, they shouldn't?
It's reflective on society. Number one, yes, the scarcity of people that can do these jobs and get paid a whole bunch of money. That's one thing. The scarcity and the number. If there were only 712 teachers in the entirety of the United States, they would be well compensated. If you're the only way you could be a teacher is they would be compensated at a lot higher level. But at the same time, it's reflective on our society, right? If quit saying that, you know, you think they should make more, then why didn't society think so? Because they would make more if society thought so.
Right. And if society thought so, you go ahead and figure out a way to pay the 7 second grade math teachers in a Huntsville City school $20 million each. Okay? And you figure that out and then extrapolate that off out across the entire state and then the entire country. It's just, it's an absurd notion. It's embarrassing. And if Bernie Sanders had anyone actually paying attention to what he was doing in the national straight news media, they'd laugh him off the stage with that kind of nonsense.
But even though it's nonsense, I would say the argument now is let's stay in the world of ridiculousness and stay there and make that argument. And now Alabama, you know, putting more and more money. It's I guess what I knew it was coming. It obviously went nowhere with the lotto bill, but I knew it was coming. There was no way that we're going to have a lottery in Alabama that wasn't for the children, Dale. And I said, you know, if we're looking at a triage list of things people need, places the money needs to go, in the, it was not the ETF. But Lord knows, if you didn't have the blood over the door, you know, Passover style there, you weren't making it through if it wasn't for the children.
Listen, I believe, this is what I believe, and I think I've said this to you before, you could have passed that bill and the money could have gone to ISIS, and it would have passed the Alabama legislature. I mean, it would have, or not the legislature, excuse me. It would have passed the vote of the people. The problem
y'all
is
hear that? Y'all hear that, people? That's what Dale says. Yes, and Dale, I want people to hear that because I say the same thing, and people look at me, you know, like I just ran over a puppy or something like that. But the truth is, people just want the lottery. Quit arguing about, oh, well, people want it to go for this or that. But the members of the legislature want to be able to say when they come back to somebody who says the 3 or 4% that don't want it on a moral reason, to say, well, I didn't want to have to do it, but it was the only thing I could do for the children to help them out.
Correct. Yep. Oh, we created scholarships for this, and we did this, and we did all these things, and that's why we did it, and we had to do it. And that's the, yeah, you're right. That's the argument they want to make, and they want to give themselves a little bit of an out, and without that there, then it just went to a slush fund. I heard that one 1,000 times. It just went to a slush fund, and it's, you know, it's just the whole thing's tired. The average citizen just wants to be able to walk down to their local convenience store and buy a stupid lottery ticket.
That is correct. And then, Dale, I got to find out on national or international issues here. How long does the standoff over tariffs with Mexico last? That'd be a Mexican standoff.
I don't know.
Yes.
You know what's funny about this? I think Donald Trump is a true believer in the things he says sometimes, especially on immigration. I think the people around him think that he's a little off his rocker a little bit on this kind of stuff. But Donald Trump seems like he is tired of being thwarted by the news media. He is tired of being thwarted by the courts, and he is tired of being thwarted by the legislature. And he feels like this is something he can just do on his own, and he can look at, and this is what I would do if I was him. I would look at Disney and these other companies. I would say, you want to get involved in abortion? You don't want to shoot movies in these states that are pro-life? Well, why don't you talk to Mexico about stopping their influx of illegals, and then we could take off our tariff. I mean, he's trying to get big business involved in this immigration argument, and I like it. I like the plan. I don't know where it goes, but I like the plan.
5% and heading higher. All this says what the percentage will gradually increase up to 25%, or until the illegal immigration problem is remedied. Of course, the definition of what remedied is that's where you leave yourself a little wiggle room.
Yeah. Do I think that this will ever actually be implemented? I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it ever gets implemented. I think it's a threat. Mexico, I think yesterday before the sun, or I guess the sun had already gone down, but before midnight, had already said, okay, well, we want to meet with some Trump folks and have a conversation. And I think that what happens is they make some acquiescence, and Trump says, okay, we're going to give you some more time, and then claims victory. I guess what he really is trying to do is change the conversation, and I would argue somewhat mission accomplished.
There it is, and that is Dale Jackson. If people want to reach out to you on maybe the warm hugs that you do on Twitter, where do they find you there?
If you would like to be berated and humiliated on Twitter or Facebook, it is at the Dale Jackson. If you want to follow me in the blogs I write, the columns, and the 7 things you should be talking about today, yellowhammernews.com.
And what give us the one line here for tomorrow's Guerrilla Politics. What are you talking about?
We're having Mo Brooks on, and we're talking about the Mueller investigation. We'll also talk about Roy Moore.
All right, good stuff. I will talk to you again soon because you and I need like an hour to talk Roy Moore.
That's true. Thank you, sir.
All right, you too. Coming right back, more of FM Talk 106.5's Midday Mobile live from Mobile Bay Coins.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm glad to have you along on this Friday. And our buddy Angelo, he has handed me, we're here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and is 10% off today. In other words, no sales tax today when you show up at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. But Angelo has handed me, okay, that one you showed me earlier, but what did you just hand me here? What are these things?
Well, I want to qualify something real quick, too. That's basically 10% off. We're eating the sales tax on all the sales tax stuff.
So what, if we look at a deal and it costs, you know,
if the bracelet's $150, it's $150
it's
the sales tax.
That.
Right, but that's not 10% off on the other stuff in the store. I just want to keep that clear
for
folks.
But whatever the price listed is,
that's the price.
We're not going to pay sales tax. You're all paying the sales tax.
Yeah, we're taking care of that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So just to keep everything clear for folks. So these two, without going into great details,
because
I'm not sure how much I can say on the air.
Yeah, I got to keep
this was a replica of the China Doll Dodge City token from back in the late 1800s. So if you were in Dodge City and you wanted some personal entertainment,
some companionship,
you would get bought. You would pay the cashier for one of these tokens, and it tells you what the rates are for your entertainment.
Y'all got to see this. Seriously, this is
hilarious.
Is very funny.
And then there was another one that was basically saying that apparently this place had the best entertainment in town.
That's right. These are replica. These were actual.
They actually had saloon tokens, is what they were called. So if you were at the saloon downstairs, we've all seen the cowboy movies.
Yeah, they come in, they flip the.
Yeah, you know, you're downstairs hanging out, but the other stuff goes on upstairs, right?
Right.
And so you would get a token from the bartender or the cashier, depending on what type of saloon it was, and you'd get that token that says, hey, I've paid for my activities, and then you would go upstairs and do whatever it is you're doing. But this is one I thought you would find equally cool, but from a totally, and that's real, by the way.
Okay, now, see, and I know he's handed me, because before I even look at it, Angelo knows that I like the things very historical.
Right.
I like history here. And I'm looking at
1628. So
you're kidding me.
It's been around for a while.
That looks like a conquistador here, or what is that?
And that's from Saxony.
Wow.
Which is one of those, you know, I hate to show my lack of geography knowledge from the 1600s, but Saxony, was that part of Germany or part of France at that point in time?
I don't know if it...
Because it sort of faded back and forth a lot.
Right, so, and then a lot of them, you know, took that little trip across the English Channel.
There was a lot of crazy stuff going on, but that essentially was a silver dollar from back in the day. So
I think 1600s, it was one of the Germans.
I think it was German states at that point, but again, you know, the history gets really hazy with some of this stuff, but that's one of the things I truly love about coming in
Georg,
here. So looked German, looked German to me.
Yeah,
very cool bit of history. You know, 1600s.
What is it's a this is their silver. This is a coin.
Correct. It is what's called a thaler, which if you slur that a little bit, thaler and dollar sound a lot alike, right?
Yeah.
Austria actually started the thaler in the 1500s because in the 1200s, and again, we're jumping back centuries at a time here, but in the 1200s, think about it. You're the King of England, King Sean, and you've got a budget of £1 million, but yet you have to make 10 million pounds worth of coinage to run the British Empire.
Right.
Wait a minute. I you know, and this is back when your coins had to have value. You had gold coins and silver coins and copper coins. Well, what did they do? They cut the mixture. So your silver coin did not contain 3/4 of an ounce of silver. They cut it down. So now it contains 1/2 ounce.
Right.
And then nobody really complained. I mean, you can't really complain to the king. He'll chop your head off, right?
Right.
We know how King Sean is here.
Yeah.
So they started cutting the silver rate till it got so bad that people said, I don't know what's in my coin. I don't know what to trust. So you were sort of stuck. If you're in England, you had to use your English coinage. But if you were going to travel somewhere else, maybe you're traveling to France or you're traveling to Saxony, those people are going to go, it's not testing right. You know, we stamped it. We did all these primitive tests we have. I don't trust your money. So Austria came along and said, we're making the thaler. It contains 3/4 of an ounce of silver. It's 900 fine silver. That's the standard from here on out. And it sort of became the international trade unit of the era, to where the Spanish 8 real, or Mexican 8 real, if you want to consider it that way, from the colonialism period.
Sure.
The United States dollar, which again, suspiciously like the taller.
Right.
All of those were made to that same standard, all the way up into the 1800s and early 1900s. Great Britain, Italy, you name it, they had a coin that was equivalent in value to a silver dollar and about the same amount of weight, about the same amount of purity. And that is one of the earlier coins that sort of started that whole process.
Tell you what, even without my glasses, I have pulled this close enough, the detail on this is
is unbelievable on this Saxony Toller.
It's amazing to me that it survived.
Like, yeah, it's a, I mean, it looks like crest on the back and different heraldic crest and all that on the back of this thing, and then the image on the front. That is 1600s.
That is 1600s, and think about two things. First of all, the detail that is left on that coin, but how much detail could they really put on it? The metallurgy and the machining techniques back in the day were what, a chisel and a file? I mean, they weren't really to the abilities we have today. They didn't have those types of tools, that technology, to make the equipment to make the coins. And so that is something that...
Y'all got to come see this.
Very primitive, but yet, like you said, amazing details.
Yeah, I know that in the past, I've got coins that I picked up here at Mobile Bay Coins from the Roman Empire, which I still, when I hold those in my hands, not even the value, it's just the fact that how many things have they seen?
Something from 2,000 years ago, if it could talk, it could tell you what it had bought or sold or what had happened with it.
Tempest Fugit is what it'll tell you, yeah.
And you think about it, and you know, we joke about it, but that could have been one of the coins that was there when Jesus was on the cross. That could have been used to pay one of the soldiers that was, you know, dragging him out of the prison and putting him up there. So you never know.
Yeah, you get these pieces of history here, and then you get something that's brand new. So we go from something where you have to... That I'm into the conversation with
sure.
her. If we're talking about Saxony, we're talking about old Europe. Then you hand me this, and this is from some dang futuristic thing that I'm...
And see, I feel like... But it's the dichotomy of having you here and having Dalton here. Because he walks
Dalton
in the door...
And John Wick, he's like, yeah.
The first question he had was, where are the hot dogs?
Yes.
The second question he has are, where are those John Wick coins?
Yeah.
So as the Daltons of the world and the Angelos of the world know,
right.
that these John Wick movies have been out. Number 3 is out now.
Yeah.
And very cool action flick. It's almost a first-person shooter video game, but turned into a movie. And there's a coin that's sort of very impactful throughout all of the movies. Everything they do, they pay for with these special coins that only these assassins or people that take care of the assassins use. Which, again, I have a whole argument about that, which we did off the air. I'm not going to go into that again. But one of the companies decided to recreate that coin in silver and in gold. The gold ones sold out pretty much instantly, and they were really pricey. And we knew our customers would want some, so we ordered a number of the silver ones, and they're going for about $25 a piece. We got those in yesterday, and they're already half gone. So if
you'll come get them today, in other words.
So if you're thinking of getting them, you need to get them now.
And you want to try to not, you know, come in and not pay sales tax and all the other stuff you get, go ahead and make that move today.
A lot of cool pieces of jewelry, those Opinel knives. We actually got some new cool gardening tools because I know how we've talked about a lot of the family members you and I both have loved to garden, and a nice knife or a nice gardening tool is essential.
All right, time we get back. We'll be right back.